there getting blessed in Dr. Barclay's house. Praise God. It's always a blessing to be able to go up there, and I know the pastors always get refreshed and get anointed when they go up there, and it's good to be around other ministers and like-minded people. Not that they're not around us here, but it's good to go and visit other ministers and see what's going on in the body and receive word from other ministers. Amen. So they'll be traveling back on Saturday, so we just want to keep them, remember them in our prayers that they have safe travels back and safe travels while they're there to and from. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. We'll bust through this here in a minute. Amen. Sometimes when you get up here, it's kind of hard to get going. So it's kind of like a locomotive. You start out real slow, and then it starts kind of building speed. If I just stop and I just stand here for a minute, I'm waiting on Him, because I know it's nothing inside of me. It's nothing in me. It is. It's Him in me, but it's nothing of me. Amen. So His anointing is what graces ministers to preach. Amen. So if we have to wait on that anointing to come, we'll get up here and we may stall. We may just talk about something silly for a few minutes or whatever. But praise God. Hallelujah. God's good. So I actually requested that because of who you are tonight. I typically don't request songs, because if I do request songs, I just kind of get blew off. But I guess since I'm ministering tonight, they kind of heeded my request. So we did that song. And the reason I wanted to do that song is because it tells God, in that one part, it says the names of God. And that makes three references to the name of God. And it's because of who He is that we're here. Amen? And it's because of who He is that gives us the breath to worship and praise Him. Amen? So I had written down, I was thinking about that earlier today, and that song crossed my mind because I knew those references were in there. So I wanted to look up some of the other names of God. And I am no Hebrew scholar, so if I mispronounce one of these, please forgive me. I was kind of hoping Wendy is really good at pronouncing some Hebrew stuff, but unfortunately my backup plan, she don't seem to be here tonight. Wendy, we love you. If you're watching, hey, Wendy, I was really counting on you being here to back me up, but no, praise God. So I'm gonna pronounce these, and I'm going to tell you, actually, I'm going to get y'all involved too. So y'all try to pronounce this when I pronounce it, and we'll say what it means, okay? The first one is Elohim. Elohim means my creator. Jehovah. Jehovah, my Lord God. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Yes. My supplier. Adonai. My master. Jehovah Jireh. My provider. Yes, He is. Jehovah Rapha. My healer. How many times have we called on that name? How many times, any of these, how many times have we called on Him to be our supplier? How many times have we called Him to be our provider? On a daily basis, probably. We might not be using the Hebrew term, but I guarantee you we're calling on Him. Amen? Jehovah Nisi. It's my banner. Okay, now we're starting to get into the hard ones. Okay, Jehovah Makadesh. And we so said that wrong, but it's okay. It's my sanctifier. Jehovah Tikkanu. It's my righteousness. Jehovah Shalom. My peace. Jehovah Roha. My shepherd. And one more. Jehovah Shema. My abiding presence. Praise God. So I sat there and I pronounced those, and I said, I said that today, and I felt his presence just by knowing who he is and knowing that I can call on him in any of those names that I reference my God to. I know he will supply, he will be there, he will heal, he will provide. He's my master, he's my Lord, he's my King. Amen. So just knowing that, what a peace we can have in knowing that. Amen. God is so good all the time to all of us. Amen. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that with you tonight, and that's the reason I kind of wanted to do that song too, because I just like the way it does. Praise God. So, wow, I didn't really think about how I'm going to tie that into how I start this tonight. So, well, praise God. So, there's no tie-in to this. I'm just going to have to start. So, I was thinking earlier today, all right, how many of y'all have ever played laser tag? Quite a few of you. Yeah, Penny's got her arm up back there. So, I was thinking about this earlier today, and it's going to kind of tie into what I'm on my message tonight. So, when you play laser tag, you go in and you put this, like, vest on. And this vest, it has a big target on your chest. And then it has a target on the back. And then there's this obstacle course that they send you into where they give you, like, this gun that you're supposed to shoot the targets. And when you shoot the targets on the chest or the back, it lights up. And then you get points. I've not done it enough to really know the whole ins and outs of it, but I get the gist of it. So we were down in Pigeon Forge, and we took Morgan down there, and we were playing. We went and played laser tag, and that's probably the first time I'd done it in a long time. But anyways, we get in there. We get suited up. We get our weapons in our hand, and it's kind of dark, and they've got all these neon lights, and they say just, you know, run through the course here and just try to shoot whoever you can shoot and you know, have fun with it. Wasn't really no competition to it. So we get going through the course, and we're hiding and ducking and trying to shoot each other and stuff, and then all of a sudden I get zapped. Because you can tell when you get hit, because it'll either make a noise or light up or do something. And I'm like, what in the world? So I'm trying to shoot people, and then Penny gets shot, and then I come around the corner, and there's this little girl. She's hiding, and she's just staking us out, and she's just shooting. And I'm like, come on, what are you doing? And then she got so brave that she started just running up on top of us. Choo, 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 choo. I mean, standing right in front of us. I'm like, really? What are you doing, you crazy little kid? So she was just lighting us up left and right. And I thought that's – so what I'm tying this into is she was pretty good at what she was doing. I finally got her a few times, though. But I don't think I had more points than her. I think the little girl probably whipped all of us. But anyway, she just had this. It's just the look that she had on her face, like, I got you, sucker. I mean, so, but anyways, I thought about this earlier today in the scripture that I'd been studying and going along with. I thought, you know, as Christians, when we become born again Christians, we might as well take that vest and put it over our chest and put it over our back, because we are immediately marked by the enemy. So we run around with a target on our chest and on our back, and the enemy is constantly creeping around the corner. He's constantly creeping through the dark with his weapons out, trying to attack us, right? He's trying to shoot us, and he's trying to look for any weakness in our defense that we have. Amen? So, we got to guard against that, right? Amen. It says in 1 Peter 4:8, your adversary, the devil, walks about roaring like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen? And we all know that. We've been taught that, and we've read that many times in here. If you will, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm already there. My verse that I read you for the tithing is just one chapter behind. Praise God. So if you ever go play laser tag, watch out for the little people, because the little people will get you. Are you in 2 Corinthians? Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Amen? It's not a fleshly battle that we're fighting here. I mean, we do war against our own flesh, but it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Amen? So that word carnal, it means weak or worldly. And that mighty in God, it's weapons empowered by God. And pulling down strongholds, it's demolishing any thought that opposes God's will. Amen? I'm one-handed tonight, so I have to do everything one-handed. It says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God." That casting down arguments is warfare in the mind against arrogant, rebellious ideas and attitudes. "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And that every high thing, I don't want to miss any of this, that every high thing is pride. In the captivity, it's our thoughts. You know how our thoughts can be very captivating, right? If you wake up in the morning and your thought life is, I've got to get done today, a lot of times your mind will kind of dwell on that until you take care of something, right? So how powerful is our mind? I heard Rick Renner, one of the messages he talked about how our mind, you can look at our mind as the control center of our life. And you know, the argument to that is, well, no, our spirit is our control center of our life. Yes, our spirit should be the control center of our life, but what avenue does it have to go through before you process everything through your mind? You process through your mind, am I going to serve spirit or am I going to serve flesh today? So I get what he's saying in the mind being the control center, because it has to go through that process before you act out what you're doing, right? So our mind is a very powerful thing. And if you let your thought patterns and your thought life, you know, if we can think on God and constantly meditate on God, and think on the good things, we can control our thought patterns in our lives. But if we meditate and we dwell and we think on the bad things, a lot of times we're going to end up getting the bad results, because that's what we've meditated on, that's what we thought upon. So it's very crucial that we take control, take captive our thoughts and our minds on a daily basis. Amen? It says, "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So when I was reading that today, I stopped there. And I thought, you know, all this other stuff, it says it's mighty in God. And then it says against the knowledge of God. And then it says bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Instead of saying into the obedience of God, it said into the obedience of Christ. Well, why did he make reference to Christ there? Because when we look to the obedience of Christ, what that's referencing to is our thoughts. When we look back to the finished work of the cross. We look back to what Christ did on the cross for us. Amen? So that's why Christ is said there instead of just God. It says, "And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Amen. And that, where I was talking about that, that's 1 Corinthians 1:18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Right? To us, the message of the cross is like one of the foundations or the staple of our Christianity. But to the world, the cross sounds foolish. To the world, they look at it and go, what person, what man, what son of God would come to this earth and die for somebody he don't even know? So to the world, the message of the cross looks kind of silly. But to us, we know that that's our salvation. Amen? We know that that finished work has been completed by him doing that. Hallelujah. God's so good. Praise God. We might have a short night tonight. I may run through this real quick. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. Thank you, Lord. You know, when I was studying and reading all this and stuff, I thought how these scriptures, you know, we've read these scriptures in the past. These scriptures have been taught to us in the past, and we've heard them, and I'm sure we have applied them. But I was also thinking about where we're at this time and at this day, and how much more crucial and critical these scriptures become. Amen. It's just like when I look out there and I see everyone here tonight, it's just like the "do not forsake the assembling of yourself." How much more light to that scripture is now than ever? Because there's a lot of houses of God, a lot of churches that are not even assembling right now, that are not even coming together right now. And for months, I mean, these people, you look at it on the spiritual sense of it, these people are starving to death. I mean, I'm sure people's probably in the Word, and they're probably at home praying, and they're you know, seeking God at home. But there's something about coming to the house of God. There's something about gathering with believers. And there's something about hearing the Word. You know, it says faith comes by hearing. So when we come in here and we hear Pastor Ronnie preach us the Word and deliver the Word, we're getting fed. Amen? We're not starving to death right now. And a lot of the society and a lot of the world today, When I look at it in that aspect of it, they're really starving for the Word right now. Amen? So what a blessing. And I thought about this the other day. What a blessing that we have such a caliber of a pastor that he knew not to just shut it down and stop what he was doing and just go along with the "que sera, sera," and let's just go all digital and we'll broadcast and we'll stream. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm saying there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you need to broadcast and stream and that's what you need to do, that's perfectly fine. I mean, that's, you do what you got to do to get the Word out there. Amen. Whether it's go stand on the street corner and scream it to the people driving by, or it's live streaming it across the internet. However you can get the Word out, you get the Word out to your people. But I just thank God that we have a pastor that has the integrity and has the, he seeks God. And he desires God. And he desires that for us. So he knows that he would be robbing his flock if he was to just shut the doors and say, "No, we're not having nobody in." So thank God that we haven't just shut the doors and said, "We'll just go along with everything." Right? Amen. Thank God for an awesome pastor. Praise God. Are you in Ephesians 6? Ephesians 6. The armor of God. Are we familiar with this? Yeah. Verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." I know I shared, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday before or something there, I had a word that Tuesday night during prayer. And the word that came to me, I don't remember all of it, but the main gist of it is he kept telling me it's not by your might, it's by my might. And we have to remember that when we're going through things and when we're doing things and when we're dealing with things and we're trying to take care of situations and struggles and hard times, and when we start depending on our might to do it, man, it's tough. It's hard. It's a struggle. It's a fight. But when he comes in and tells us, what are you doing? It's not by your might that you're going to go through this. It's not by your might that you're going to come out on the other side. It will be by my might. And when he reminded me of that, I thought, you're right, Lord. I'm sorry. Sometimes we try to do things on our own, and it takes him reeling us back in and saying, whoa, wait a minute. What are you doing? Why are you out there trying to take care of this by yourself? Amen? You're my child. I'm here to help you. We don't go through things by ourselves. Amen? We have him, and it's by his might, not my might. Amen? So we're strong in the power of his might. It says, put on, and we've talked about this and we've heard this, that put on is action. We have to take action to do this. If we don't ever take that action, you will never get that armor on you. You have to do it. It's like you put your clothes on. I hope you put your clothes on. Looks like everybody's got their clothes on. But it's just like when we get up in the mornings and we put our clothes on. We have to go through the actions of putting on our clothes. So this armor, we have to put this on. And then it says the whole armor of God. And I thought about this the other day. I was thinking, you know, do we go through life with the whole armor of God? Or sometimes do we forget to put on our belt? Or sometimes do we forget to put on our shirt? Or do we just decide that we don't need our helmet for the day? And we go out into the world, and we get out into the world, and we think, oh, I forgot my shield of faith at home. Oh, it's okay, I'll make it through the day. Make sure we go out, when we go out, that we are fully dressed in the armor of God, that we're not leaving any part of that armor off, because it's like that laser tag. If you leave any part of your armor at home and you don't take it out with you, you have a weakness. You have an area of where the enemy can attack. So it's very crucial that we have every part of the armor with us and on us, right? Amen. So the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we've heard that a lot, the wiles. And wiles means trickery, the practice of deception. And I thought about this. Actually, I'm gonna tag Rick Renner on this. He, you know, Rick Renner, if you ever listen to him, that man will break down every syllable, every verb, every noun in the Greek. He breaks it down so methodically. It's like, how does the man even do that? But I'm going to give you the layman's term, not the Rick Renner term. So he said, when you break that down, break that wiles down, and I could give you the Greek word is I'm not even going to try that. But it says, one who operates on a single lane of travel. And I thought, my goodness, how do you even get that out of that? But it's there. And then he said that the devil, he attacks, he only has one, he's traveling down this single lane or this single road, and he only has one way to attack us, and he attacks us the same way every time. And he said, if you can learn his method of how he attacks that one way, you know, I know there's many things that we deal with and many things that come against us, but it's one way that he's attacking us. If we can figure out how he's doing it, we'll learn how to head him off quicker, right? Amen. I just thought that was kind of neat, the way he broke it down. And if you want to get more of that, it was, I think it was the Armor of God, Rick Renner, or something, one of his teachings there. Just look it up, and he'll give you more detail on that. Amen. So, the wiles of the devil. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And that wrestle word, you know, that's a combat word. That's a hand-to-hand combat. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, I'm not going to talk about this too long, but this right here gives us insight to Satan's kingdom. All of these principalities and powers, these are ranks in his kingdom. And they all have different ranks, but like the warring demons and the principalities and stuff, those are the highest ranking demons. And then it goes down from that. So Satan has set his kingdom up where they're in ranks, right? Make sense? So it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Why does mine not say stand twice? Does any of y'all say stand twice? Mine don't. I'm missing a stand. Well, we know we're supposed to stand and then stand some more, right? Amen? But that stand, if you look that up, that's a military command. And it says, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Amen? Oh, I wanted to share that with you, too. He gave the breakdown of devil. It's Diabolus and dia, the first part of it means a total penetration, and volus means strikes repeatedly. So the enemy's looking to get total penetration, and he keeps striking us over and over and over until he can get that penetration. But he's not going to get it with us, right? Amen. Because we have our armor on. Praise God. So, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So this is parts of our armor that we should wear, that we should have. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, I got all this broke down. Pause in silence. The armor of truth, it's a belt around our waist, and it guards our loins, and it protects our upper torso. And the breastplate of righteousness, it covers the front and back of the upper body. Right? So this is likened to a Roman soldier's, like, their military gear. And when you break that down and think about how a Roman soldier... We've all seen pictures of how Roman soldiers were dressed, how they have the helmet and the breastplate and all the metal and shin guards and all that stuff on it. So this is likened to some of that. And that breastplate of righteousness, it covers the front and back of the upper body. And it's said that a Roman soldier with that breastplate that they put on could weigh up to 75 pounds. And you think about that going into battle, with 75 pounds on your chest. And I also heard another minister say one time, he talked about how Goliath I think Goliath's breastplate, his protection, weighed like 125 pounds. But, you know, Goliath was a big old dude, so that probably weighed like 30 to him. He probably didn't even notice it. And the shoes, the Roman soldiers' shoes, it said that they would have spikes that come out of their shoes that were like 2 to 3 inches long. So those spikes on those shoes were, and they said that's how they gained such a great advantage, because they had their feet shod with these shoes that they could fight with. So we're to have our feet shod, right? With the preparation of the gospel of peace. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all. And I like that there. It says all. It don't say some. It says all. If we have that shield of faith, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And Rick Renner was talking a little bit about that shield of faith. And he said a Roman soldier's shield, when you break it down like he does, he said, look at a door, like a door that we have, and that's the size that possibly could be of the Roman soldier's shield. Could you imagine trying to carry a door into battle? I mean, that'd be pretty intense, pretty heavy, pretty big. But we have the shield of faith. It says, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, this helmet of salvation, this is one of the most important things that we have in our armor. This is one of the most noble things that God had given us in our armor. That helmet of salvation, unless we have that helmet of salvation, we can't gain any of these other armory tools, right? We have to have that. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So that sword that we take of the Spirit, that's for close combat, and we use that against the enemy. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. Now, that, well, I won't even go into that. So, but being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen? So, there's so much information on all that stuff. And it's really, when you start breaking it down and getting into it, it's pretty interesting to see the comparison of all that stuff. So God has equipped us with this armor, right? And why has He equipped us with this armor? So we can defend the attacks of the enemy, right? So He talked about this armor that we should have. So I want to share with you right quick. I thought this was interesting. I read across this. So we have the armor of God, and we know everything that the enemy does, that Satan does, he basically counterfeits God, right? He's always mimicking God. If God has something, he's tried to do it differently, but kind of the same. He's always trying to throw a counterfeit. So if we have the armor of God, and you know he's talking about those principalities and powers, I don't know, Pastor Ronnie's made mention of this book. Have y'all ever read this, Demons and Eyewitness Account? If you haven't, I suggest you do. You talk about opening your eyes up to some stuff. I mean, just, and what's so sad about it, or not what's so sad about it, but there's a lot of people that don't even think that they are warring, spiritual warfare. They don't even think that they're fighting against an enemy on the invisible scene, and they don't even really, I mean, if they believe in angels, would you not believe in demons? Because wasn't Lucifer an angel before he fell from heaven? So why are we not hearing more teaching against this and on the warfare and on the spiritual warfare against demons? Because that's what's behind all this. It's like the election coming up. Okay, light against darkness. God against the devil. Right? Amen. So let me read this to you. So we have the armor of God that God's equipped us with because we're his kids and we're his believers. So in the enemy's realm, in Satan's realm, and this is out of Howard Pittman's book, he talks about the appearance of warring demons. So I'm going to just hang in there with me while I read this. Try to follow along. It says, the form and the shape of the warring demon portrays a very handsomely built being with an appearance resembling a well-proportioned giant athlete that seemed to be perfect in design. That don't sound like no scary Friday the 13th, ugly, grotesque demon, does it? That sounds like a really nice-looking guy or whatever it is. Perfect in design. Says their coloration is light bronze, somewhat like beautiful, polished brass. And you know, Lucifer was known to be beautiful in heaven. It says their uniforms were similar to what I'd always thought the Roman soldier of olden times had worn. The helmet, they got a helmet. We have a helmet, helmet of salvation. The helmet, which was also similar in design to those used by the Roman soldier of the Bible days, was constructed of a dull colored metal or material. A plate-like object extended down from the headpiece between the eyes and served as a nose cover. On the back of the helmet was a shield-like ledge extending at the angle from earlobe to earlobe around the back of the neck. The shield served as a neck covering protector, yet it allowed for maximum movement of the head. At the top of the helmet was a ridge row of coarse hair-like material. Now, why do these demons need armor? They're going to be fighting somebody. Obviously, if they got this armor on, I'm sure it's not for just looks. So who are they warring against? Yes, us. Amen? At the top of the helmet was a ridge row of coarse hair. On the upper portion of the body, he wore a chest covering that was held in place by straps which looped over his shoulders, crossed down his back, passed under his arm, and reattached to the chest cover near his waist. Except for the crossing straps, his back was bare. And I thought that was interesting because our breastplate of righteousness covers us front and back. Amen? We're covered from front to back. They're not. It says the garment on the lower portion of his body resembled a skirt of pleated metal-like material with one pleat being dull in color and the other being bright. The skirt ended at the knee. Around his waist was a wide belt. So counterfeit. I mean, he's so counterfeit. What do we have? We have the belt of truth. On each side of the belt was a holster containing some sort of object. It says, I do not know what those objects were. The boot was constructed of the same material as the rest of the uniform. The front of the leg was covered from the knee down with the back of the leg open, except for straps that wound around and connected back to the front of the boot. The boot totally enclosed the foot, and the arms of the demon were naked. It says, I do not know the design of this uniform has anything to do with the warring demon or his area of expertise. I was allowed to view it in detail, so this is why I am reporting it in detail. I just thought that was interesting, how these demons have some sort of armor on, and for what reason other than they're going to be in a battle. Same thing with us. We're in a battle right now. Amen? So there's a lot of interesting stuff in this book, and if you haven't read it, I would suggest getting it and reading it. It's pretty awesome. Praise God. Howard Pittman had some really, really good teachings. Thank you, Lord. In Ephesians 4:27, it says, give no place to the devil. Amen? So we're to give no place to him. So when we take on this armor of God, and like I was talking about earlier, how a lot of times, and I speak for myself, a lot of times I don't, if I go out of the house or whatever I'm doing, and I forget to put on any piece of this armor, I'm, like I said, we're making ourselves open to an attack. So we constantly have to have this armor on. And another thing I thought about today, how, and I'll make this a reference to me, how do I take pride in that armor that I have? And I thought about that. If you're in the military and you have your uniform on, you might as well say this armor is your uniform. And you put this on. And I thought about that. My shield of faith. Is my shield of faith polished? Do people see my shield of faith as being polished and bright and clean? Or do they see my shield of faith as being dull and tarnished? So it's very crucial how we take care of these things that God have that He's given us, and that we always make sure that we represent Him well. And we want our armor to look polished and look clean and look like we're taking care of it. Amen? Praise God. So I guess the main thing, you know, and I know it's before us every day, but don't forget that we have an enemy. I mean, the things that we see in the natural and the things that are going on in the world right now, it's all a result of what's been played in the past. It's all a result of things that have taken place in the past, and it's led up to this time now. And we're seeing a lot of the results of things that had taken place years ago. Things that could have been fought. Things that, the battles that could have been won. And I don't want to say that we've been defeated in some areas, but I don't want to say we took victory in all the areas that we should have also. Because I think if we, and I know it's all by design, and I know some of these things, or all these things, have to come to pass before we see Jesus return. And it's playing out how it's supposed to play out. But, you know, what I kept thinking today and what I kept getting today is, it's time that we be militant about this battle. I mean, I'll speak for myself. I've been passive in the past. I've been passive going into this war. But it's time that we rise up. And it's time that we make sure that we have our armor on correctly and that we're using it correctly. And it's time that we get that militant mindset and we go into this battle and we know... Here's the thing about it. Regardless, we have the victory. He has the victory. Amen? But we, he's looking to us to go into this war and fight this good fight of faith down here on this earth. And I don't want to fail at that. So it's time that we get that mindset of that we are in a battle, and it's not a battle of flesh and blood. That it's a spiritual battle, and we need to see it as a spiritual battle, and we need to attack it. Amen? That's why prayer is becoming so, and prayer has always been important. But right now, and I know they're calling, I think next month there's several ministers and people that I think Jonathan Kahn, some other, I've heard them announcing that they're calling for a month of prayer. But how much more important and how much more critical of a time that the saints be praying. Amen? We need that. We need to be praying. And when this election comes around, we need to be prayed up. And we need to If God needs us to speak things out into the atmosphere for things to take place, we need to make sure we're doing our part and our end on that. Whether you're, if you're praying in the Spirit or you're praying in your understanding, however you're praying, we need to make sure that we're not holding those prayers in that need to go out into the atmosphere so God can work down here on this earth. Amen? Because we need to see God move in our nation. Our nation is looking pretty ugly right now. And the some of the people in our nation right now is looking pretty ugly. I mean, some of the stuff that's going on in our nation and the things that people are doing right now, it's like, you know, we talked about that mind. What's going on in your mind? What's going on in people's mind? What little demon is behind that mindset that they're going out and doing these things in our streets and burning these buildings down and doing all this stuff? The things that went on in that CHOP zone, it was a little more than just rioting and a peaceful protest and setting up camp. And you hear some of the backstories of some of the, it's ludicrous. I mean, it's just, it's crazy some of the things that are going on right now. And it's our job as Christians that we pray against these things. And it's our job that we stay in that word and we stay studied up. And we know what the Father and what the will of God is, and that we come against some of these things. Amen? I mean, heaven forbid that we see any more than what we've seen come in our city right now. But if we see some of this stuff come in our city, what are we going to do? I mean, it's not like we can strap up and go downtown and take care of business. I mean, if we could do that, we're going to be the ones getting in trouble. It's not the ones down there riding and whatever. It's going to be us. So what do we know to do? Pray. Stay in the Word. Don't forsake the assembling of one another. Building each other up. Come together. Bring a word to one another. We need to be building each other up. Amen? I know, and I know this is on Facebook, but I don't really care. We were talking about bullets the other day, and we were talking about buying bullets and getting bullets stocked up. And yeah, I got 500 rounds of this. I got 600 rounds of that, 700 rounds. And I said, well, I don't have a big stockpile. I have a few. I said, I probably have enough that would get me in trouble. And by that, what I mean by that is, I don't care if you got 10,000 bullets. You use one wrong bullet. It only takes one bullet. I don't care what your stockpile is. But if you use that one bullet wrong, you're done. They're getting you. So it don't matter how stockpiled you are. So that's what I'm saying. I don't lean on the natural. I lean on the spiritual, and I lean on God to take care of me, and I lean on God, and I know Pastor Ronnie leans on God to take care of you and take care of this house and the people in this house, and that's why we pray Psalms 91. That's why we pray protection over every one of us. Amen? This right here, this is better than a million bullets. I mean, that... there's not a bullet, there's not a gun, there's not anything that can take the place of that. That's more powerful, I mean, than any man-made weapon. That word, if we'll take that word and if we will apply that word in our life, that's what causes God's protection to surround us. Amen? So like I said, I think our mentality is... And I'm not saying y'all's mentality. I'm just saying over a whole. I thought about that earlier today. You know, it's just kind of that weak, well, if God, you know, God will take care of it, and God's will be done. And just, I don't know, there's just a passiveness. And that passiveness is just kind of, it's becoming irritating. You know what I'm saying? Wendy made a comment last night at prayer. She said, would the real church please stand up? And I thought, you are absolutely right. Would the real ministers, would the real believers, would the real Christians, would you please at this time and this hour stand up? I mean, my voice is only good right here because this is the only place that, I mean, this is the platform I have right now. Pastor Ronnie's voice is only good right here. I mean, it goes out over the internet. I know that. But across the country, we need ministers and we need Christians rising up and taking a stand for the gospel. Amen? And we need them preaching the word with boldness. And thank God for some of these ministers that are actually standing up right now. I know we were talking earlier about how some churches are being fined for holding church services. Why? How is that even possible right now? And I know last time I ministered, is last time or one of the times before that I ministered, and I remember saying how easily that hatred, because I think we were talking about what had happened with the beating and stuff like that. I said, how easily could that hatred and the tension be taken from there and then be placed on the church? I mean, it just takes a handful of people. You know, it's sad that the minority, yes, has the majority right now. Because it's only a handful of people that are stirring a lot of this stuff up. But when we look at the spiritual side of it, those handful of people are being influenced by the demonic. They're being influenced by demons. So, rise up. Rise up, church. Rise up, Christian. Put your armor on. Be confident. Be secure in wearing that armor and knowing who you are in Christ and knowing that He has equipped us with every tool, every weapon, everything we need to defeat the enemy. But it's up to us to use that. Amen? It's that whole put on. If we don't use the tools that God has given us, it's on us. Amen? Praise God. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to bring some light to that tonight and, you know, remind us and remind myself, you know, we have an enemy and we need to know our enemy and we need to know his attacks on us and we need to be able to recognize those quickly and we need to have the Word of God inside of us, so when that attack comes, that Word of God immediately comes out of us and exposes that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, God's so good. And look, Wendy got two plugs tonight. I plugged her on the Hebrew, and then I plugged her on what she said last night. So, Wendy, good job. If you're watching, praise God. Wendy's awesome. Oh, y'all are awesome too. Thank y'all so much for being faithful. Thank y'all so much for being here and supporting our pastors and being so faithful to God. Amen. Words can't really express the gratitude that we have for one another. Amen. I know a lot of times, and I'll tell you from up here because we don't say it face to face a lot, but thank y'all. I love y'all. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being who you are. Amen? And we should say that to one another, right? I've got a good friend in Chicago. Well, y'all met him, Mike. He texted me this morning, and he said, where's my friend and my brother? He said, are you avoiding me? He said, love you, brother. And I mean, that's basically the gist of our conversations when we text each other. Nothing more than that. But we should be like that with one another here, right? So I love you, brother. I love you, sister. Amen? Because we are all a part. We're all the body of Christ. And if anything else, that's the only commandment. One of the commandments, the only command that God gave us in the New Testament. Love one another. Amen? Sometimes it seems like it's difficult. Sometimes it seems like it's tough. But really, if we have the love of God in us, loving one another is really not that hard. Amen? Praise God. Well, hallelujah. If y'all stand up with me, hope y'all got something out of that tonight. I would really like to go in more detail about all that armor stuff, but, you know, a lot of that stuff, it takes studying, it takes digging in and getting it to, you know, you hear all these seasoned ministers talk about the armor and talk about all this stuff, and it's like, man, you know, and you get so much from them, and it's like, I can do that. And then when you know, for me, I'm talking for me, and then when I get up here, I'm like, yeah, I'm not quite that seasoned yet. So praise God. But those ministers, they're awesome, and I thank God that that he has called those men to teach and instruct and have them there just so I can go learn from them, so you can go learn from them. Praise God. But hallelujah. So in the morning, when you get up and put your clothes on, put God's armor on with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us for such a time as this, Father. Father, we don't take it as any light thing that we're here right now, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've placed that protection around us. Father, we thank you that you've called us. Father, I just praise you, and I thank you, Lord, that you gave us your Son and you gave us your Word. Father, now I thank you that you have equipped each and every one of us here tonight. We have all the tools that we need. We have everything we need in you to rule and reign and conquer in this life. Now we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Go and be blessed. Love you.